Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Today's podcast is sponsored by Pavilion Payments, which empowers gaming institutions to create an enhanced patron experience with a complete suite of integrated payment solutions that enable safe, secure, and trusted cash access at the cage, on the casino floor, or online. Learn more at pavilionpayments.com. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we speak with Jay Snowden, the president of Penn Entertainment, about the company's recent launch of ESPN Bet with the legendary media company, as well as the shape of its land-based casinos. Penn Entertainment has had a big year. The company appears to have hit a home run with its joint venture with ESPN to launch the ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Right out of the gate, ESPN Bet is challenging longtime online sportsbooks for the third place behind DraftKings and FanDuel. In an exclusive interview with GGB, Penn President Jay Snowden reveals how the deal came together and what to expect as the app gets refined and improved. He also talks about the bricks and mortar properties and explains where the company is strongest. He also explains the strategy Penn is planning to make sure that its iGaming and sports betting players are also visiting the land-based properties. He spoke with me during the East Coast Gaming Congress at the Hard Rock Atlantic City in April. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Jay Snowden, the CEO of Penn Entertainment. Jay, it's really good to see you here at the East Coast Gaming Congress. Thanks for taking the time.
Always a pleasure to hang out with you, Roger. Yeah.
So I want to get to what you talked about today. It was really interesting about AI and how the threats and the advantages that you have. But I want to just start with the land-based casinos first. I mean, you're one of the largest casino companies in the industry with 43 casinos across the land. Do you consider any one of them your flagship?
It's an interesting question. I think for a lot of companies, our competitors, the answer is more obvious. Mm-hmm. You know, Caesar's Palace for right. Caesars, and you know, whether it's Bellagio or
sure,
MGM
right,
for
right.
MGM. And for us, because we don't have that, you know, Las Vegas Strip
right.
prime location mm-hmm. asset, but we've got all of these amazing properties across the country. The only one we have here in Las Vegas is a beautiful, beautiful property,
sure, right.
M Resort,
yep.
as you know. But I don't know. I don't know if I would say we have a flagship. Our larger properties would be our Le Berge Lake Charles
right.
property,
beautiful
Thousand
property.
Room, beautiful resort,
yep.
M Resort here. We just broke ground mm-hmm. on another 400-room hotel,
right.
so we'll have
yep.
800 rooms
yep.
and all the other amenities there. So those are probably the two largest. And then, mm-hmm. of course, we just broke ground with our first hotel at our Hollywood Columbus property.
Right, right.
which is one of our most successful
yeah,
and largest as well.
I interviewed Richard St. Jean when he was there years ago, and a beautiful property without a hotel. So now that you're having a hotel, it's going to be really special, I think.
Absolutely. That's a property that has needed a hotel really since
sure.
the day we opened, and for a long conversation, not worth going through now.
Yeah.
We couldn't really do it because of the lease structure we had mm-hmm. with our landlord, but we were able to get that cleaned up with GLPI. And that allowed us to break ground on this hotel for Columbus that should be open in very late 25
sure.
or early 26.
Sure. Well, let's talk about the M Resort. I was driving to L.A. for a conference last week, and I hadn't been down that end of I-15, and you're driving by, and there's all these apartment buildings being built around there. I mean, obviously, that was what the Marnells were looking at when they built
yeah.
that property years ago, but now it's finally coming to fruition, and with an extra hotel, I mean, I think that property is going to really take off.
You're exactly right. You really see it when you're flying
right.
into
mm-hmm.
Las Vegas from Southern California.
Right.
And you're coming in from the south or southwest, and you see rooftops that
mm-hmm.
are
yeah.
not just new, but also
sure.
continuing to be built in that part of the valley. So, you know, we're staying ahead of that.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's always competitive dynamics in the valley. Durango
right,
Red
sure.
Rock Resort
yeah.
just opened. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Property.
Gorgeous,
I think they,
yeah.
they just nailed mm-hmm. it. I was saying to my wife, we live in Boston, but I was saying to my wife, Shannon, when I talked to her after I walked through mm-hmm. Durango, it's the first time I've ever walked through a casino that it feels like a woman did the design.
Yeah, right.
In all
yeah.
the right mm-hmm. ways,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
The
right.
colors, the natural light,
the
floor to ceiling glass.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
really, I think Red Rock nailed that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're
absolutely.
At M Resort, you know, we've got a great, great property. We just broke ground, as we talked about, with another hotel, and the rooftops are continuing to go up,
sure.
and the property's doing great. Our general manager there, Hussein Marous,
mm-hmm.
does an excellent job
yeah,
for that property.
Yeah, no question. And I think it's always interesting because it's right close to the Raiders practice facility, so it's kind of the home base for the Raiders football team.
They've been incredible partners, mm-hmm. and as you said, their practice facility, you could literally throw a football too.
Yeah, right.
No pun intended, but you could. And it's interesting because we have a commitment. We are the official hotel of the Las Vegas Raiders, and they have a commitment per year of how many rooms, and they exceed it every year because they've fallen in love with the property. So the relationship has been so good. We really, I think, showcase and represent their brand the way they want it represented and showcased. When you walk inside M, it feels like we are part of the Raider family.
Sure, right.
And again, our general manager there just executes fantastic.
Sure, sure. So let's talk about Louisiana. You know, you've got that beautiful property. You also have it in Baton Rouge, and also gorgeous property that you built that from scratch by yourself. So, how are those properties performing down there?
Louisiana has been a real stellar market for us. We have some premier assets, as you mentioned. The other one in that market that is a great asset is the Margaritaville property, which we acquired.
Sure. Okay, right.
So two of those were built ground up. Mm-hmm. One was done through acquisition.
Right.
And all three of those are best in market, best in class. Obviously, we compete very closely with Golden Nugget and Lake Charles. It's kind of one month they're ahead, the next month we're ahead.
Yeah.
And we have a friendly, good, competitive relationship. Mm-hmm. Tillman and I are friends.
Yeah.
And our Baton Rouge property is a absolute gem in that market. There is new supply there, and they're actually doing quite well, the old Hollywood property there. Mm-hmm. But we feel like we're positioned for the long term to be the market leader in Baton Rouge, and then same thing in Bossier City with the Margaritaville property.
And the sports betting was just legalized last year, so that's probably going pretty well.
Yeah, we're really excited about the impact that sports betting has on our entire ecosystem, right? So if you offer a retail sports book on NFL season, college game day on Saturday, and NFL on Sunday, you get a lot of new, younger male and females coming through maybe to watch and bet on a game.
Right.
And then they curious, oh, you know, how do you play blackjack?
Sure.
How do you play roulette? And so it's really interesting. We've actually put our gaming product closer and closer to those sports books and sports bars.
Sure.
And we've seen great utilization as people are looking to just have some fun beyond watching the game.
Right.
And I think now that they've been introduced to different forms of the casino experience, they're coming back more frequently, even when not just to watch a game or bet on sports.
Sure. And, you know, you just proposed a casino in Petersburg last week, and it looks like it's a real great property.
Yeah. We, we've done this a few times, as you know. We've, we've been a developer of casinos, greenfield projects, and we would like the opportunity to do that in Petersburg. It's stiff competition. There's five of us that are competing for that license, don't have a good feel right now for kind of who's jockeying for the lead position. But we have a track record, and we have a balance sheet that can support doing that. And I think those will be important factors for the decision makers there.
And Virginia's a pretty decent market now as well.
For sure. I think, you know, Virginia was obviously one of the last states to legalize land-based casinos, but they were quite thoughtful around how many and where they're located.
Sure.
So they've done a good job of spreading them out, making sure that there isn't going to be too much cannibalization or saturation, too much supply in any given market.
Okay, great. You've got a property in Illinois where they also have the they don't call skill games anymore, but the VLTs, I guess. There was a presentation earlier today about how that really impacted the slot drop at all the casinos. How bad did that hurt you guys?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really, really interesting topic. I think at least in Illinois, the games that you see at bars and taverns are regulated, and the entities that run those operations are licensed.
Right.
Okay, so there's a regulatory system in place.
And a tax system, so that
taxes,
the state makes some money on it.
Makes real money. Yeah. They make more money on VGTs now than they do on the casinos, which is pretty amazing.
That
so
is,
there has
you're
been
talking
an impact.
About such a high tax state to begin with.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And so there has been an impact. We decided pretty early on to get involved in the route operation business, one, because it's legal, two, because it's regulated, and three, we're licensed, and four, because it was impacting our casinos.
Sure, right.
And so if it's going to impact your casino revenue, double-digit percentage, which it has throughout the state, we wanted to at least try to protect.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got involved in the route operation. We bought a company called Prairie State Gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a really good team that's running Prairie State Gaming for us now. It's in growth mode.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the top five in terms of operations in the state of Illinois. The difference, however, is that there's these other devices in other states called skill games, which is code for slot machine.
Yeah.
Anybody that plays it knows.
Sure.
It's a slot machine.
Yeah.
Smells like one.
Yeah.
talks like one, you know, right?
I've been through Pennsylvania and seen them in truck stops.
They're all over the place, right? And so that's a difference.
Right.
If it's regulated, there's licensed entities, it's taxed, that might be something that we would look into participating. Mm-hmm. But these quote-unquote skill games,
right,
where you have operators that are essentially building mini casinos across the state,
right,
there's a lot of these in the state of Pennsylvania, for example, and they're not paying taxes.
Right.
And there's no responsible gaming practices.
Sure. No protection.
There's no protections in place. That's bad for everybody other than the company owning those machines.
Right.
And so we're adamantly against skill games.
Right.
And that's something that we've been very vocal about as a company, as I know our industry has and the American Gaming Association. And we're going to continue to fight the good fight.
Well, now Pennsylvania, though, they just had a court decision where they kind of make them legal. I what are you looking for the state to do now to really mitigate the impact on the casino?
Yeah, we think that was a bad interpretation. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you if you sit down at one of these machines and you play them, you realize it's a slot machine.
Sure.
And I'm sure that the judge that made the decision on these by reading black and white on paper, but didn't actually go sit at one of these machines. Mm-hmm. That's I think a factor that has to be considered.
Right.
So you can defend all day calling them skill and showing how it's skill, but if it's not something that you feel when you're sitting there, then I think that has to be something that is considered, but it wasn't. So we'll continue to fight it legally. Mm-hmm. I think there's opportunities to continue to appeal that decision.
Right.
And you know, look, if it ever is going, if we're gonna get to a point where skill-based games are going to be regulated and licensed, then they need to be paying the same tax rate that we're paying.
Right. Yeah.
And so right now what's being proposed is like, oh, we'll go through the process, but we only get taxed at 15%.
Right. Well,
we're getting taxed at 50.
Right, sure. Right.
How's that fair?
Yeah.
We've invested hundreds of millions of dollars in the state of Pennsylvania, and they have not.
Yeah, sure.
But we're going to give them a better tax rate?
Yeah, yeah.
That makes no sense to me. Yeah. So you can understand why it's such a hot button issue for the industry.
Question. I have a
we employ thousands, I'll throw that
course,
in there as
right,
well,
of course,
like thousands of
that.
People, right?
I mean, there are job losses in Illinois when that came through as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cannibalization.
Yeah, yeah. So a friend of mine who lives in Pennsylvania told me one time that all you have to understand when you look at the Pennsylvania approach to gaming is that the state wants to make as much money as possible.
Well, I think it appears that way in several states. Right. I don't think Pennsylvania is the only one, but I'm not going to get into
okay.
that.
Okay, we're not going to get into that. Right, exactly. So let's talk about the online gaming space. Less than a year ago, you acquired ESPN Bet, and it went live, 3 months ago?
Yeah, a little bit more than that, yeah.
And the results initially are really good. Obviously, ESPN has the most visibility, I think, of any online casino company. And so how did that deal come through?
Yeah, it's very interesting. It sort of was in talks development for a few months. I think ESPN really was looking for a while at how they wanted to get involved or engaged with online sports betting. And I think that it took them a while to come to the conclusion that they wanted to actually jump in.
Right.
Now that it's legal in so many states, betting on sports is just part of the entertainment experience for a sports fan.
Yeah.
You want to watch the game, you want to hang out with friends, you want to have good food, maybe a beer, and you want to bet on it. Mm-hmm. It could be $10.
Sure.
It could be a parlay.
Right.
But it creates engagement and it's fun, it's exciting. And so they're all in. And but they got to a point where by the time I think they had come to the conclusion that they were ready to lead with their brands, it's like, well, who do we want to partner up with? And they went through a process. They really liked our team.
Right.
They liked our technology stack. They liked that we owned it all. We control that roadmap. And so we struck a deal. We announced that in August.
Right.
We went live in November. It's early days, but it's very exciting.
Sure.
We have had almost 1.5 million new registrations and deposits since we went live in 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we went live across 17 states all on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
What we feel really good about right now, Roger, is that the top of funnel demand and the brand association, so acquisition of new customers, has been an A+.
Yeah.
And their engagement with us, I would say, has been a solid B+ in terms of how often they come back.
Sure, right.
The thing that we have to get better at is making sure that our product offering, two areas, product offering as it relates to parlays, they're so popular now.
Sure,
you and I have been around doing this a long time.
Right, yeah.
parlays were the sucker bet when we were younger.
Yeah, right.
You just bet money line or point spread. Well, now, not only it still is a high hold game, but it's what the consumer wants.
Yeah, sure.
And there's all these sophisticated ways to bet on player props, mm-hmm. betting parlays within the same game versus just multiple games. So our offering today, I would say, is good, but it needs to be great. Mm-hmm. And so we got to get to parity with the other top players, like a DraftKings or a FanDuel. Mm-hmm. By this upcoming football season, week one, we plan to get much closer to parity.
Yeah.
And then re-engage with customers that maybe saw the app the first time, played it a little bit, and then said, oh, I'll wait for some of the features to improve.
Yeah.
We'll be ready this football season for that. And I think that we can continue to see, starting football season, market share continue to grow again.
Okay. Yeah, I play on a bunch of sports betting sites, and I find it really hard to find the bets I want to play. Like last week for the Masters, you know, I wanted to bet, you know, top 10, top 20, top 5, and it was really hard to find that. You had to go through a lot of different layers to find it. I mean, is that something that we need to improve on, not just your app, but everybody's app?
I think so, for sure. If that's a frustration, then we got to get it right for everybody. Right. It does sort of dovetail into what I just presented on, which is artificial intelligence.
Sure.
And I think it's a provocative topic. Mm-hmm. It's a hot topic.
Sure.
It's a scary topic. And it's an exciting topic.
Yeah.
And the ways that it's exciting is exactly what you said. With artificial intelligence, we know that Roger likes to bet on the app, you know, for big events.
Right.
And so when he comes on the app, right, the day before the Masters, chances are it's for the Masters.
Right. Yeah.
Because we knew last year you did it. Mm-hmm. And we want to have the bets that you like in front of you, front and center on that home screen.
Yeah.
And I think that's coming soon. That's
sure.
That's not like crazy talk 3 years from now.
Right.
I think we can be doing that from a CRM perspective, mm-hmm. using generative AI tools. Those are things we're going to be able to do in the next 12, 15, 18 months.
Right, okay. And it looks like your Ontario online operation is going real well with the Score purchase. Yeah, that was a couple of years ago now.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been live in Ontario for over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're live. That was where we initially went live on our own tech stack, which we acquired through mm-hmm. the Score acquisition as well. We've been right around double-digit market share there since the day we launched to where we are now, mm-hmm. both in online sports betting and online casino. And the thing that we have done, I think, really, really well there, and that we're going to be soon with ESPN, I'll get into that in a second, is on the deep integrations between the Score Media app and the Score Bet, the betting app, to where if you're in the media app, we make it really easy for you to understand what your betting options are, to the point where you can even complete a bet slip of the bets you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only thing that you have to do is when you say, I'm ready to place the bet, we take that bet slip, we move it over to Score Bet, and then you can place the bet on the betting app.
Okay.
And so those are the things that we're working on right now. That's the other piece with ESPN that we're hard at work. I was just in Bristol, Connecticut mm-hmm. this week with the ESPN team and our senior team, and we're working on all of those deep integrations.
Yeah.
For example, with ESPN, we're working on account linking.
Yeah.
So if you have an ESPN account and you have an ESPN Bet account, and you want to link those, and we'll give people incentives to do that. Once you do that, Roger, we now know everything that ESPN knows about your preferences.
Right, sure.
The sports that you like, your favorite teams.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a fantasy team in their fantasy app, the players on your fantasy roster.
Right.
And so you can imagine how much better we can be, really, than anyone in the space.
Sure.
Because we can give you personalized offers mm-hmm. based off of what we know about you from ESPN and make it seamless to go from setting your lineup to maybe betting a player prop parlay with players on your roster, put it in front of you. If you like it, take it. We'll move it over to ESPN Bet, and off you go. And no different than when Disney launches their direct-to-consumer streaming service,
mm-hmm.
ESPN streaming service, next summer, late next summer, early fall, whatever the final date is going to be. There's things that we can do on integrations with them there, too, that Bob Iger even talked about on their last Disney earnings call. If you're integrating with ESPN Bet, you can imagine, we know Roger's favorite team is the Yankees. The Yankee game is on. We have a parlay feature on the television with a barcode. And all you have to do is scan the barcode with your phone. The barcode puts that bet slip on your ESPN Bet app.
Yep.
And off you go.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of exciting things. And to me, it's like we have to get our products as close to parity as quickly as possible so we can start to work on all these. Well, we are working on them in parallel, but in terms of the leapfrog opportunities, it's going to be all these exciting deep integrations that we can do. And our partners at ESPN have been incredible, and they're as excited about this as we are.
Yeah.
You know, because they understand sports betting does drive engagement.
Right.
And so if you're ESPN, it's not just about the betting. It's the fact that when people do place bets on games, they're more engaged. They'll stay up and watch the whole game instead of turning it off at halftime. Mm-hmm. Well, if they're watching the whole game, then that's good for advertising dollars, more eyeballs.
Course,
and so throughout their whole ecosystem, that's part of why this partnership is so powerful, because ESPN Bet being successful is great for Penn, and it's also great for ESPN.
Right. So tell me how iCasino plays into this. Obviously, you have a great internet casino that is very successful. I've had one. So how are you going to migrate players from ESPN, BetESPN to your online casino?
Yeah, it's actually a couple of things about that. So in the states where iCasino is legal, so let's take
New Jersey, West Virginia,
Pennsylvania, Michigan, West Virginia, Michigan, any of those four, the way it would work, Roger, is that if you're within ESPN Bet, and you want to play blackjack, we have a casino tab inside of ESPN Bet.
Okay.
So you don't even have to go out, come back in. What we haven't done yet as a company, because that's worked out really well, you can imagine how much more effective you can be in cross-selling.
Sure. Right.
It's halftime of the game that you bet on.
Right.
Hey, here's a free $5 bet, blackjack, go give it a shot. And it's in the same app. You don't have to get out of an app.
Right.
And so that works really well.
Yeah.
And we've seen cross-sell numbers like 50%. Of our online sports betting players have been cross-sold into online casino. But I think for us at Penn, what's very exciting is that we're developing a standalone online casino app called Hollywood Casino.
Okay.
We initially launched with one,
but
it was on a third party, I won't say the name, a third party platform that decommissioned the platform. So we now have our own technology stack. So we're building out our own iCasino. We'll have that live in the next 12 months, hopefully before the end of the year, if not first quarter of 25. Because here's the one challenge we have today, Roger, which you can appreciate, is that if you're a casino patron of ours at our Hollywood Greektown in Detroit, and we want to introduce you to our online casino offering, we have to have you download ESPN Bet currently before you go in to play the casino.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of people that are just walking into the Hollywood Greektown, it doesn't really register.
Sure,
what do you mean
have
to download ESPN to play slots on? So when you have a standalone app and we say, go to the App Store and download Hollywood Casino, they understand that,
right?
So that's going to be a big needle mover for us is when we have that standalone casino app that's branded by itself.
Sure. And I guess you'll be able to go from Hollywood Casino app to ESPN Bet.
Seamlessly. That's exactly right. There'll be reasons for us to move you back and forth between the two.
So one of the things I don't think any land-based casino company who's in the online field has done well is to migrate players from online into on-property.
Yes.
You know, I don't think anybody's done that, you know, even close to being done well.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about that?
We are a lot. We actually talked about this on our last earnings call because with the early success of ESPN Bet from an acquisition standpoint, we had over a million new users sign up and come through our ecosystem in the first 2 months after we went live. One of the things that we found is, I believe the number was, 33% of those million users live within 50 miles of one of our brick and mortar properties.
Right. Yeah.
So what an amazing cross-sell opportunity. We've already started testing new offers to those players to visit our properties in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
What we're finding, not surprisingly, is that many of them, most of them, if their average wager on the sports book is, call it $10, when they come to the casino, because they're maybe it's more of a trip, it's an experience, maybe stay the night, restaurants, that the spend level is like 7 or 8 times higher than it is online. So it's a big initiative for us.
Absolutely.
We call it omnichannel.
Yeah.
Other companies have different names for it. But that's ultimately, because we talked about each of the different parts of our businesses, but you're asking the right question here at the end, which is, what do you do with all of this information, all of this data, customer data you have? And I get excited about how AI can help us better understand preferences so that we can become more proactive, anticipatory, and personalized with our offers to our end user.
Sure.
Like the example you gave on the Masters. We know Roger loves the Masters, so we're gonna hit him with an offer 2 days before, set up the home screen just the way he likes it, and then we're gonna send you an offer to go to the steakhouse the following weekend because we know you like to visit the casino.
Sure.
So we do that. We do that the best way we can today, mostly through human analysis.
Yeah.
And AI can be scary, but it can also be pretty exciting because there's a lot of tasks that we do as humans that computers can just do faster.
Sure. Right.
And I think this is an example of we're going to be able to get the offers that our online-only customers want in front of them to properly incentivize them to make a visit to a casino and make sure that they have a great experience.
Great, great. Well, Jay, I wanted to talk more about AI, but I know you got someplace to run, and I appreciate you stopping by here, and we'd love to follow up with you. Maybe I'll come up to Why Missing again next time we have this conversation.
Yeah, always enjoy catching up with you, Roger. Thanks for taking the time.
Hope you enjoyed today's GGB podcast, sponsored by Pavilion Payments. Learn more about the full suite of gaming solutions available at pavilionpayments.com. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the weekly news of the gaming industry, subscribe to ggbnews.com. Use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. And don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts today. And we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.